Carolina, and this recording is from one of our church services. For more information, visit our website at churchofphiladelphia.com. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoy the message.
Amen. And so as we go to the Word, 2 Kings chapter number 2, starting at verse number 1, and the Word of our Holy God reads, it says, "And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophet that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord would take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto Elisha, Tarry here. I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophet that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord would take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. And 50 men of the sons of prophets went and stood to view afar off, and they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee that a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. Amen. You could be seated in the presence of our holy living God. Amen. Amen. And so the title that we're going to be working with on today, we're entitling this The Farewell Tour. The Farewell Tour in Jesus' name. Amen. The Farewell Tour. And I don't know if you know anything about a farewell tour. Some of you might. The most recent one that comes to mind to me was from my favorite basketball player as of late, the late, great Kobe Bryant, you know. And as he was coming or entering in his final year, like 20 years of playing basketball for the Los Angeles Lakers, you know, it came to a point where his body just physically could not do the things that were needed to do to sustain or for him to play at a high optimal level on the basketball court. You know, yes, he still had the IQ to play basketball, but physically, you know, as you're getting older, the muscles tend to not allow you to do what you once were capable of doing. So you're not as fast as you once were. You can't jump as high as you once was. And so in his last year, he came to this place where he understood, I'm getting ready to retire. My body's not going to allow me to do the things that it once allowed me to do. And so, and not just in this year of retirement, he understood that after I move from this place of retirement, what would be the next chapter in my life? And see, many of us, we come to a place where we're saying farewell to something or a season, you know, is coming to an end. And we have not made preparation for the next season, or we have not made preparation for the next thing that God has called us to, that next chapter that's getting ready to unfold in our lives. And so one thing about Kobe Bryant, he was very, very successful in those things. He prepared. He understood the process. He always knew what he wanted to do. And afterwards, you know, when his basketball career ended, you know, he moved into making films and, you know, videography, different things of that nature right there. So he understood exactly what he wanted to do once his basketball career ended. Now, but as we go back into the farewell process of Kobe Bryant, you know, his team was the Los Angeles Lakers. And I know you may be saying, what does this have to do with the word? You'll see. You know, his team was the Los Angeles Lakers, right? And so any other team that he would go play in the opposing team's venue or their particular arena, he was viewed as the enemy, enemy number one, public enemy number one. He was hated. He was booed. But people could admire him for his accomplishment, his great accomplishments that he had over his span of 20 years of playing basketball, one of the greatest top five players of all time. Right. So he's accomplished a lot. But in this time of his last year, each venue, though he was always viewed as public enemy number one, and when he would go into opposing arenas, venues, you know, he was constantly being booed. But as everyone came into the knowledge and to the understanding that this is his farewell tour, this is his last year playing, this is his last ride, you know, people will begin to stand and give him standing ovation and admonish him and adore him for all the things that he accomplished on the court as well as off the basketball court. But they would acknowledge him for the greatness that he brought, for his diligence, for his hard work that he brought to the court. He was someone that played both ends of the court. He was not just an offensive player, but as great as he was playing offensively, he would also go back and play defense. He would play the defense on the greatest player on the opposing team. So he was a great, great player. So one thing that I like in his farewell tour, like we said, the opposing arenas or the opposing fans and they give him a standing ovation to acknowledge the work that he put in, to acknowledge him as a great player that he was. Man. So this is what we're talking about in this farewell tour. We have, you know, two of the Bible's most famous characters, that being the prophet Elijah and the prophet Elisha. Elisha being the protege of Elijah, right? And so as we dive into the book of Kings, we understand that this Kings, it looks at the history of the nation of Israel as the nation has been split into two kingdoms, the northern and the southern kingdom, right? Israel will be known as the northern kingdom, being composed of the 10 tribes, and then the other two will be made up of Judah, the southern tribe, right? And so in the southern tribe, they will rule from Jerusalem, and whereas the northern kingdom, they will be ruling from over in Samaria, things of that nature right there. So the book of Kings is looking at the lives of the different kings in relation to, as God would send prophets in the lives of the kings who are governed at these particular times. And what would the response of the king be to the word that God would send or release to the prophets, right? And so we're looking at the lives of these kings, how they rule, you know, the time frame in which they ruled. Were they submitted to God? Were they submitted in covenant relationship with the Sinai covenant that was established? Did they follow this covenant, the principles of this covenant? If they did not, God would send the prophet to come and bring a stern or a harsh word of correction or a harsh word of rebuke to bring a nation or a kingdom back in line, back in order. And so if they failed to align themselves with this Sinaitic covenant, we understand God would again release these prophets to send judgment upon the kingdom of what was going to take place. And we see God would not relent, as there were many kings that would rise and fall and span over the course of years throughout this divided nation or this divided kingdom. And so, again, God was governing, allowing them to govern themselves according to the Sinaitic covenant. And if they failed to not adhere to the principles of the covenant, then God would send the prophet. And so God would utilize this prophet Elijah on the scene amongst some other prophets too at the same time, but namely the prophet Elijah. He would use the prophet Elijah on the scene to come and speak harsh words to the kings and things of that nature, and tell the kings what was going to befall them because of their rebellion, because of their disobedience, or because the nation of the kingdom would go chasing or whoring after false gods or false idols. And so we bless God for that. So we're coming upon the chapter where the prophet Elijah, he understands, as well as the prophet Elisha, as also we read in the scriptures, some of the sons of the prophets were aware of what was going to take place. Now, the Bible lets us know that before God does anything, he's going to reveal it to the prophets. So all of these prophets that the scripture talks about here in 2 Kings were aware that God was up to something. God was going to do something concerning the prophet Elijah. So now the prophet Elijah understood that he was on the farewell tour, that God is getting ready to take him into another chapter, process him through to this next chapter of life. And so we understand that the scripture lets us know that he will be taken up in a whirlwind, something very, very spiritual, taken up into heaven. In the quote of the scripture, he would be one of the last two prophets that would come back. In these last days, God is going to send him back, and he will be one of the voices of those two prophets in the last days that God will use to declare and herald out things according to his word. Amen. And so we understand that Elisha, the protege of Elijah, he understood, as we see in the scripture, what was going to take place. He knew that his master, the one that was training him, was going to be taken away that day. And so as we jump into the scripture, it says, and it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha, from Gilgal. And now this is the thing, they're leaving this place called Gilgal on this farewell tour, right? And Gilgal in the Hebrew, it is defined as a wheel or rolling, right? And so when you think about it here, it's at the place of Gilgal that God is getting the ball rolling, or God is getting the momentum started. God is causing things to move. God is causing us to now start this process of the farewell tour, right? And if you're like me, there's some things in life that I got to say bye-bye to. You understand what I'm saying? There's some seasons that I have to walk out of and walk into brand new seasons. There was a chapter that has to end and a new chapter has to open in my life. You understand what I'm saying? There's some things that I must stop doing so that I can actually begin to do new things. There are some things that God wants to develop and establish in us, but we cannot allow those things to be developed or established in us because we fail to move from this current place that we're at. Now, you need to rise up, stand up, be brave, be stronger. Tell somebody it's time to say bye-bye to some things, not just some things, but it's time to say bye-bye to some people. You understand? Some of us can't go to the next chapter or to the next level in our lives or to the next season of our lives because we refuse to let go of some people. There are some people who cannot go to the next level, to the next dimension, enter into the next season or the next chapter of your life. It's just simply put, it's just that. It's simple as that. They cannot go. That doesn't mean you have to stop having a relationship with them. You understand? The relationship cannot progress into this next season or this next chapter of your life. And most of us don't have the courage to actually say those type of things or be willing to stand up for those type of things. We talk about and we discuss how bad we want the things of God to happen in our lives, how bad we want the promises of God to be manifested in our lives, but we're unwilling to do those things, those difficult things, make the hard choices or the hard decisions so that the word of God can actually take place or be manifested in our lives. And for some of us, that difficult thing is to say no to some people. That difficult thing is to let go of some people, you understand? Or that hard decision is to move on without people, right? If you're like me, that's difficult because, you know, I want people to celebrate with me, not just celebrate me, but I want them to celebrate with me. You know, as God opened doors for me, I want God to open doors for other people. But I understand every door that God opens for me, everybody cannot walk through this particular door. They cannot handle the process of what it is to come through this door. And since we're talking about doors, understand there are times when God will have one door closed in your face and you're trying to figure out, well, what do I do? It seems as if it's dark. I don't know what to do. I'm at this place of obscurity. I don't know what's happening. I pray to seem like God has ignored me, seem like God has not heard anything that I've said. You understand? Do you know somebody and can you relate where you've been in a place of obscurity where it seems to be everything is dark all around and you don't have a clue of what's taking place? Well, I want to suggest to you, as you come out of one door has closed, you in that dark place known as the hallway, that place of transition, that place of process, before the other door actually happens to open, you're in the hallway, that place of transition. Amen. So don't lose focus, don't lose hope, don't lose faith. Keep standing. And to keep trusting, keep believing God as you're transitioning from the one door that is just closed and making your way and processing through, making your way to the other door that God has for you to walk through. Don't lose sight of what God said because you're in the place of transition, this place of processing, which we typically see or know as the hallway. Yes, it may be dark. Yes, you know, it may not be any lights, anything of that nature right there. But what you can do, you can trust God. You can go back to the word of God. The Bible lets us know that his word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. So even though you may be in a dark hallway, the light, use the word as a light to light up your path so you can get to the next door. Amen. So he says, and it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah to heaven by a whirlwind that Elijah went with Elijah from Gilgal. So you nudge somebody, somebody's right next to tell him, you got to get to moving. You got to get to moving. Let God start this process in you. And this is the thing, when God starts the process, you must know when the process is starting. Yeah, it may be scary. This thing may be uncomfortable. You may not be used to sudden change like that. I know me, I like things to be a certain way in my life. They have to be a certain way in my life. things to make sense. In order for me to function at a high optimal level, I have to have things a certain way. For example, Brother Lewis was down and he was trying to help me establish some things for, you know, church. And it's like he dumped like 8 different changes in my life all of a sudden. Now, mind you, I asked for it. And isn't this just like us? We ask God to do a thing in our life. You got to understand, when you're asking God to do a thing in your life, in order for God to do a thing in your life, it involves change. And for most of us, we don't handle change well, or sudden change. When sudden change comes, no matter how much you try to prepare yourself, and no matter how much you told yourself, this is what I need in order to be successful on the next level, when that change comes abruptly, even though you call yourself preparing for it, because most of us, we just like things the way we like things. In other words, you just have to be in control. Things are, when they seem to be out of place, what is saying to you that you are not in control? And so to get back my example, it's like he dumped, Brother Lewis, it's like he dumped 8 different changes in my life at once. And I was like, bro, are you serious? Are you kidding me? Like you're not paying attention to what you just did. He's like, bro, isn't this what you asked me to come and do? I'm like, yeah, I did. He says, so what is the problem? The problem is you're dumping 8 different changes in my life. I mean, you got at least work me into this thing, like let's take baby steps or something. And now in his eyes, because this is what he's familiar with when it comes to videography and all these different things and audio technology, all these different things, it's easy. This is something that he knows like the back of his hand. But because it's such an unfamiliar territory or place for me, listen, you gotta walk me with baby steps in this thing. But he was like, no, I have a certain time frame that I'm here. This is what you ask, this is what you say we need to do. And if we're going to have things the way God wants them to be, so that God is glorified, and to do things in the spirit of excellence, then let me do what I'm good at. And so, you know what? It was difficult, but I had to take a step back and let him do what he was good at. Now, it was very hard. And his wife had to be the mediator. And I was like, see, this devil don't understand. I said, but woman of God, you understand what I'm saying, right? And she was like, yeah, you know how she started. Yeah, my love, like you got to think, like you dropped like 15 chains. And see, for me, all within the span of 30 seconds, it went from 15 or 8 changes to 15, but then the next minute we was at 85 changes. I was like, listen, bro, you don't put 85 changes in my life. How do you expect me to accomplish this? And I got to do this tomorrow, and my word is not even together. And isn't that just like some of us, when God starts the process of what you ask for? Because we are afraid of change, because we understand change can be difficult, because we understand change can be very uncomfortable, we begin to pump the brakes on what God is trying to do. So it's not that the word of God is not fulfilling itself, or the word of God is not coming to pass. It's that some of us are trying to slow the process of what God is actually trying to do in our lives. Why? Because in order for God's word to come to pass, it must come with change. It must come with change. And because most of us don't like change, we begin to pump the brakes on what God is trying to do. So I'm trying to tell you, take your foot off the brake and let God keep the process going. Let God allow the word to start rolling in your life. Let the momentum of what God said, let the momentum of the anointing begin to push the word of God in your life, right? So this is the place that they're leaving, is Gilgal, where things are getting started, where things are getting rolling. The process is beginning. Amen. Don't be afraid of this next chapter. Don't be afraid of this next season. Don't be afraid when one door closes. Remember, because another door opens. Don't be afraid when you're in this place of transition, what we call to be the hallway. It seems to be dark and it seems to be obscure. You have no clue what's going to happen. Don't be afraid. Because remember, you got the word of God. Because understand, they as prophets, they understand something is going to take place, because the Bible lets us know before God does anything, he's not going to do it until he reveals it to his prophets. So by Elijah, Elisha, as well as the sons of the prophets being prophets, they all had some knowledge of what God was going to do. God has spoke, whether he spoke in his audible voice, still small voice, spoke through dream, vision. They had the word of God. So they had some sense of what God was going to do. They might not know how he was going to do it, but they had some sense of what God was going to do. And the truth be told, whether you know exactly how God is going to do it, his word should be enough. If he said he's going to do X, Y, and Z, that should be enough. I don't need to know all the details of how you're going to do it. I just need to know that you're going to do what you said you're going to do. Can you just stand and rest in that right there? Because God gave me the word, I know that he's going to watch over his word to perform his word. I know that his word shall not return back to him, but it shall accomplish everything spoken or set it out to do. That's what I understand about the word of God. I may not understand the process. I mean, I like the process. I don't know the first three steps of what God is going to do, but I do have the word. I'm not trusting in the steps, but I'm trusting in the word. And the truth be told, for some of you planners, I know you want me to stop, but I won't stop until you get enough. But some of you planners, I understand. When you can't follow the next step, listen, go back to the word. Let the word be the plan. Okay, you gave me this word, God. The plan is to just trust you, God. Even when fear comes in or doubt or unbelief comes in, God, when weariness or fatigue comes in because I'm tired of believing, God, the plan is to go back to the word. I know that you are a God that you cannot lie. So I can go back to the word, stand, and trust your word. That's the plan. You don't have to know what step one or step 25 is. The plan is simply to trust the word of God. So as God is trying to start this process, is get the momentum of the word and the anointing moving in your life, stop pumping the brakes because you're afraid. Stop pumping the brakes because you don't understand what's going to come next. What's next is the word. Look at the parts of the word that God has spoken. Am I in the right place? Am I in the timing of God? Am I connected to the right people? These are things that you should be asking yourself, as well as asking God about these things. You know what? If there is something that you just need to do to occupy yourself because you can't figure out what the next step is, engage God about the word that he spoke concerning your life. Talk to God about the word that he spoke to you about your life. What does this mean exactly, God? What exactly are you saying to me? I don't want to make any mistakes. I don't want to misinterpret the thing that you said to me, God. Show me what you mean. Give me understanding. Open the eyes of my heart concerning your word, so that I will properly interpret and properly understand what it is that you're saying. Am I in the right connections with the right people? Am I in the right place? Am I in the timing, God, for this to take place or for your word to actually manifest? So I've been there where God spoke a word to me. I was excited about the word. And, you know, I figured, well, hey, I can make this happen, right? There's some things that you can actually do, right? But was it in the timing of God? Was it the correct season for you to do what you could do, what you had the power to do, the knowledge to do? Because I get it. Everything is not going to be supernatural concerning the word that God has given you. Some things you're going to have to actually go do, put your pants on, like every man and woman has to put their pants on every day and go and take care of your business. But in me doing that, am I acknowledging God about what it is that I'm going to do, that I believe this is a part of his word? This is a process of the word. Have I taken time to acknowledge God about what he said concerning my life? And that's the step. If you want to have a step, that's the step that most of us tend to forget, to acknowledge God and what it is that I'm doing, whether I believe this is concerning his word or simply this is just something that I want to do. Now, your acknowledgement may simply be, hey, you pray, God, this is what I want to do, da 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 da. But true acknowledgement is not just you talking to God, but you giving God an opportunity to talk back to you about what you talked to him about. That is acknowledging God. And how is it that he's going to be able to direct your path if you don't give him an opportunity to give you direction about the direction you should go in? Right? Direct, root word of direction, right? How can God direct your path if you fail to give God an opportunity to give you direction? I know most of us, you're so smart, you know everything. You know, you should be seated on the heaven. I don't know. Maybe we should call you God because you're so smart, because you know everything. And the devil is a lie. No, you don't. And so some of us, we fail to get the directions that God can actually direct us. Amen. Bless his wonderful name. Bless his wonderful name. So it says, and Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, right? He said, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel, and Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. Now, Bethel in the Hebrew is defined as the house of God. Simply put, this particular temple, this body, we understand that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost, right? So as God gets the momentum going of his word coming to pass, we're talking about this farewell tour, right? There's a place that you're going to have to say bye-bye to. There's people you're going to have to say bye-bye to at that previous level, and you can't be afraid, right? Because this comes a place, I'm not talking about where now you want to go and get all these self-help books and you want to go listen to Iyala and Oprah. No, this is the place where I get down to Bethel, the house of God, where I allow God to deal with me as an individual. This particular house, those things in this house that are order, I allow God the opportunity to bring those things in order back in my life. You understand? I got to deal with my mindset. I have to have an attitude adjustment, right? You know, if I was easily offended at this previous level, if I got angry and upset at this previous level, if I had a quick temper at this previous level right here, as God has allowed me into a new season, a new level, opening a new door for me, then guess what? That mindset that I had at this previous level, I cannot bring that to this next level. At the place called Bethel, I should be allowing God to change and correct some things on the inside of me, adjust some things, some tweaking, minor tweaking taking place on the inside of me. And for most of us, it starts with your mindset. Right? Because if we understand that the enemy is able to get your mind, if the enemy is able to get your mind, then it becomes difficult for you to stand on the word of God, to trust God, to believe God for what he's spoken to you. If the enemy gets your mind, then guess what? He can mess with your interpretation of what he said. He can mess with your understanding of what it is that God has spoken to you. So it is important. It is important that you get your mindset right. Right, so they come down to this place called Bethel. We're at this place called Bethel, which is interpretive, the house of God. And it's just not enough for God to deal with your mind. You got to let God now deal with your heart. See, you got to let God deal with your heart. Because guess what? We told you the heart and the mind, two words that can be used interchangeably throughout the scripture, especially in the Old Testament, right? But we also brought you into the understanding that your mind and your heart are in constant communication. And constant communication, meaning there are things that you think about or there are things that you might have seen and had thoughts about what you've seen or had thoughts about things that you've heard. And guess what? It didn't just stay in your mind. It might have stayed floating around in your mind, but that thought, that thing that you saw, that thing that you heard, somewhere along the line, you develop real emotions or real feelings about what it is that you thought about, that thing that you saw, that thing that you heard. You develop real emotions for that. Why? It shows you the communication that has taken place between your mind and between your heart. And then some of us, we begin to make decisions based off of what it is that we feel. Something that started with a thought, something that started with something that we saw or heard. Right. So in this place called Bethel, now, this is what I truly like about the scripture. In the farewell tour, as Elijah's going from place to place and he's dabbing folk up and he's saying, you know, thank you for giving me the opportunity to prophesy to y'all. Thank you, opportunity to rebuke some of y'all. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak the word of God into your lives and encourage you with the word of God to let you know what the heart of God was speaking to the nation, to the kingdom. Thank you. Give me that opportunity to Gilgal. I got to move on to Bethel. It's here that I got to deal with the inner man. Is the inner man truly ready to move to the next level? I know you talk a good game and you say, I'm ready for the word of God to manifest itself in my life. But when we look at your actions, when we look at where you are, we see you make no preparation. Yeah, but you talk a good game. You say, you tell us all the time, I'm ready. I'm expecting. I'm believing God to do great things. But where is your preparation? How are you going to be processed without preparation? For example, if I go back to the analogy or the example that I used with Brother Lewis, bringing me up to speed, bringing or introducing me to these new 85 changes, I had to make preparation. I had to, in order for him to bring this new equipment into my life, I had to reach out, go research it, talk to folk, understand what it was going to be capable of doing. Not only that, then go purchase it. Then come get it set up. Let him, hey, I got da-da-da-da. Let's make it work. But it wasn't that simple. He had to educate me on how some things work. He had to tell me how to turn this on and turn that off and adjust this and adjust that. And I'm saying, listen, man, you don't understand. That seems minor to you, but that is something major in my life. This is not something that I'm comfortable with. And so I understand that it's necessary. So even though I made preparation, my preparations were not enough. This person who knows this particular area, they're helping me, or he's helping me come up to a whole nother level. And it requires more than what you thought you were prepared for. I said, okay, this is crazy. I said, bro, to the point that I'm sweating. I am so hot now. I am so uncomfortable. He thought I was joking, right? So he started touching my head, like, you know, he didn't feel it touch my head. He's like, bro, no sweating. I said, bro, listen, I am sweating all under my arms. I don't sweat like that under my arms. So I told him, I said, I am going to get vulnerable with you for a second. You and your wife. I said, listen, I am sweating up a storm because I'm so nervous about this. So nervous. But you know what? He was like, bruh, I got you. He had to say it a couple of times, bruh, I got you. Just let me do what I'm good at, and I'm going to show you what to do. I'm not going to leave you out there. Right? I was never at a point where I thought he was going to leave me out there, but I was at the place where, what happens when you do leave? Can I redo? Can I reduplicate everything that you just did? And because this is not my area, because I'm not comfortable here, my mom was already fighting me. My mom was already telling me, you're going to forget this step right here. You're going to forget to do this right here. Because he was just doing little stuff, and he was adjusting the camera, like bouncing the camera up and down. I was like, is that something I'm going to have to do every day? I know I'm going to forget that right there. See, I was already counting myself out before I ever got to the place that I can walk in what God said or walk in what he demonstrated before me. I was already counting myself out. And the truth be told, you're not going to be real about how your mind fights you on moving forward, how your mind fights you on being processed through the process of God or walking out the word of God. You're not really being honest about how your mind fights you as much as it fights you, right? And when you can get past your mind and get your mind in order, there's just some things that you feel. You don't feel secure about doing this new process. You don't feel secure about moving into this next level or this next season or walking to this next door. You feel a little insecure. Yeah, but what I understand, he cannot be here to hold my hand. I'm going to have to sit. I'm going to have to open my eyes. I'm going to have to open my ears. I'm going to have to lock in and focus and pay attention. Yes, I'm going to have to be corrected and receive it. Oh, yes, because guess what? He's pushing me and he's pulling me into a new season, a new level, a new door that I have already made preparations for. But guess what? My preparations were not enough, because he understands your preparation. That was good. You got the ball rolling, but it's going to require much more. So guess what? God will bring you to a place where people know more than you. If you're going to make advancements, if you're going to be successful, then you must be willing to be taught. You must be willing to be trained. And for most of us, we have a problem with that. We come into new seasons. We come through new doors already just full of pride. You know what I mean? Yeah, you got there. But the reality, you got there not because of your skill set. We're not knocking your skill set, but it's by the grace of God that opened the door for you. That's how you really got there. If we're really going to be honest and put all the cards on the table, you with your flicky acting self, you with your bad attitude having self, you with your smart mind self, you, the reality, you are there because God's grace allowed the door to open. Now we understand you got some skill, and I'm knocking that. We commend you for your skill, but your skill minus the grace of God, this is why you're on your 15th job, your 26th job interview. You understand? Because that's your skill set minus the grace of God. And one thing we say in kingdom church or Christian kingdom, we talk about don't let the anointing of God take you someplace where your character can't keep you. And see, if you're not that spiritual, I still got a headbanger for you. Don't let your skill set take you where your character can't keep you. Oh, yes. Don't let your skill set take you to a place where your character can't keep you. Because see, a lot of you got the skill, but you don't have the frame of mind or the discipline of mind to match your skill set. You understand? You understand? As what I like about Kobe Bryant, as gifted as this dude was, He understood there was somebody better than me. So he would go and pick the brain of Magic Johnson. He would go and pick the brain of Isaiah Thomas. He would go and pick the brain of Michael Jordan. These people he looked up to and played like Michael Jordan. He wanted to be like Michael Jordan to the point he said, I want to be better. But if I'm going to be better, let me learn. And some of these nuances that are incorporated in the game, let me learn how to be better in this particular area, in my post-up game, in my defense game, in my passing game. Let me become better. How do I do that? Let me talk to somebody who's done it before me and done it better than me. He showed that he was willing to be taught. He showed that he was willing to be trained. In spite of his skill set, in spite of what he knew, he humbled himself so that someone else can pour into him. So I'm going to say it again. Don't let your skill set take you to a place where your character cannot keep you. For those of us who are Christians, don't let the anointing take you a place that your character can't keep you. See, right there, you ought to tell God, come on, God, help process me through with my character. Work on my character, God. Help me be aware of my character, God. Let me be aware of my character. One thing I pray is a prayer that Solomon, King Solomon, asked God for. You know, because he didn't go before asking for money and all these different things. He asked God for wisdom. He said, give me wisdom how to judge the people, how to judge situations. He also said, give me wisdom how to go in and out before the people. That is a prayer that I pray, God, teach me how to go in and out before the people. I need wisdom how to go in and out before the people. When I get into the company of certain people, God, I need wisdom to know if I'm supposed to speak or if I'm supposed to be quiet. And if I am supposed to speak, I need wisdom to know what it is that I'm supposed to speak. And if I'm supposed to be quiet, what it is that I'm supposed to be learning. Give me the wisdom to be able to discern what it is that I'm supposed to learn in this particular moment. I need wisdom, God, to go in and out before the people. All I'm saying is, God, work on my character, God, to not thinking I'm a know-it-all, God, to not come in thinking that they need me. You can see most of us say, okay, no, you need me. That's why you call me, because nobody needs you like that. You're deceiving yourself that the world will not keep on revolving without you. No, baby, the world will keep on revolving. People will keep on moving, keep on talking, and keep on walking without you. Stop deceiving yourself that people need you. Now, we appreciate the fact that we are in relationship with certain people. Don't ever overlook that. That you are in relationship with certain people. Don't ever take the relationships in your life for granted. And see, when you look at this dynamic here in the scripture, Elisha, the protege, understood this. I'm not going to take this relationship with my mentor for granted. You know, I'm going to be there on the farewell tour. Oh, yeah. Wherever he's at, wherever God is sending him, I'm going to be there, because I understand that time is winding up here, but God can do something great in his life. And I don't want to miss it. I want to be a part. So he did not take the relationship for granted. Even on the farewell tour, there is still something that I can learn. While I'm at this point where he's getting ready to be taken away from me, there is still something that I can learn. Now, granted, Elisha is a prophet in his own accord, his own right. He's a prophet. Right? He's a prophet himself. But he was willing to get beyond his title of being a prophet to still come subject to his mentor, follow him until he was taken out. That's called devotion. That's called commitment. And if you want to throw another word in there, that's called discipline. I'm disciplined to be in this relationship. I'm disciplined to be mentee, or to be your friend, or to be your son. I am disciplined to operate in this role of this particular relationship. And the reality, some of us, the relationship you are part of, you have been so undisciplined in that relationship. Oh, you have been so undisciplined. You have not been a disciplined son. You have not been a disciplined daughter. You have not been a disciplined a woman of God or a man of God. You have not been a disciplined mother, a disciplined father, a disciplined sister, or a disciplined brother. You have not been a disciplined husband. You have not been a disciplined wife. Some of us have been so undisciplined in these particular roles inside of the relationship. So the relationship, which is designed to take you places, the relationship cannot
go to where it needs to be, because some of us have been so undisciplined inside the roles, inside of these relationships. No, you got to get it together. The role that God has called you to walk out in this particular relationship, you must become disciplined. If that means you got to follow, then follow. And if that means you must lead, then lead. Lead under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Lead by the wisdom of God. And if you're the one that must follow, follow with the wisdom of God. Follow by the unctioning of the Holy Spirit. Yes, I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you. I know you want me to stop, but I sure won't stop till you get enough. Yes, 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 yes. So he said, and Elisha said unto them, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave you. So they went down to Bethel, and the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha, right? They came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord would take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yeah, I know it. Hold ye your peace. See, there's some things that you know, but how are you going to respond about the things that you know? Will you allow somebody to debate you in an unnecessary argument or an unnecessary debate? You know what you know, and be settled in what you know. Don't be moved by what people know, even if they have a portion of what you know. Don't be moved by what they know. Don't allow somebody to seduce you in conversations. Yeah, don't allow people to deceive you in conversations or pull you into unnecessary arguments or disagreements. Why? Because it's not time for me to get my spirit man thrown off. If I'm thrown off, I cannot focus. I cannot be disciplined on what it is that God is trying to speak, or what God is trying to reveal, or what God is trying to show me. I must discipline myself in following. Right now, it's not enough to just have unnecessary conversation. I'm going to say enough and then cut it. Yeah, I know it, but hold your peace. I'm politely telling you to shut up, right? I know what's about to happen. I don't need you to shut up. Right? Wisdom. So understand, we bless God for this, right? And look, as he's transitioning on this farewell tour, right? Because moving from this place, Gilgal, down into Bethel, where God is now dealing with you on the inside, that sometimes God has got to deal with your heart, right? You got to deal with the bitterness or the unforgiveness in your heart, that stubbornness in your heart, that unwillingness in your heart, that rebellion that is down in your heart. You must deal with that. That perversion that is down in your heart, you must deal with that. That disobedience that is down in your heart, you must deal with that. And this is the thing. I know you want God to deal with you in your prayer closet, right? But listen, when they went down to Bethel, as we enter into verse number 3, he tells us what, and the sons of the prophets, they were at Bethel, right? And they came. The sons of the prophets were there, right? The sons of the prophets who were at Bethel came. So in other words, there was an audience there. While you have it to get you right, sometimes it's going to be an audience. I know you want to just go in your prayer closet and talk to God and let God cause you to upchuck at your home, in your bathroom, in your bedroom, in your closet, whatever the case may be. But no, there are sometimes God is going to deal with you right in the front of your audience. And that's my thing. Can you handle being dealt with? Can you handle being corrected? Can you handle being rebuke? Can you? Because see, I know you love being encouraged in front of other folks. You love when God speak the awesome, dynamic, prophetic word about your life. I'm talking about what's going to happen, who you're going to be, what you're going to have. You understand? But even though God may say all of these awesome and dynamic things about what he said concerning you, there is still a process that you must go through in order for this word to manifest itself in your life. And 9 times out of 10, God, we understand God, he rewards you for those things that you do secretly. He rewards you openly. But this is not something for secret. This is listen, you're going to have an audience. Some days you're going to have an audience. Oh, yeah. People are going to be looking at your response. Yeah, because remember, we're at Bethel, the house of God. You're at that place where you got to say bye-bye to the old you. I bless God. Pastor Gary talked about how some of the old ways of the old man, they show up in the new man. You got to say bye-bye to some of them old ways. Now, this is where you really got to get it together, because we're on the farewell tour. I can't come back to this place. When it's dead, it has to remain dead. This thing cannot revive itself. This thing cannot resuscitate itself. This thing cannot be resurrected in my life anymore. When I leave this place right here, when I deal with my bad temper, my bad attitude, my lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, when I deal with the adulterous thoughts or the adulterous spirits, when I deal with all of this rebellion that I have to deal with on a daily basis, I must leave it at this place right here. I must say bye-bye. We're talking about the farewell tour. Bye-bye, bye-bye. Now, the truth be told, the Bible lets us know sin, it was pleasurable for a season. There were some sins that you were great at.
You know what I mean? You got to applaud it for. And that's all good and well. But listen, last time you get applauded for acting a fool. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because see, certain people will tell you, girl, no, they deserve that guy. You should have cussed them out somewhere. Oh, no. You didn't cuss nobody else out. That's why you where you are, because you have not disciplined your mouth. You have not asked God to put a guard over your mouth. You need to ask God, God, put a guard over my mouth, God. When I want to cuss them out, God, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth, God. Don't let me be able to speak no cussing word, God. You understand? See, that's that real wrong truth that we have got away from. I want to cuss them out so bad, God. And I'm saying when I go to cuss them out, God, when that cuss word forms on my tongue, God, don't let it come out my mouth. Matter of fact, God, I'm going to hit it where it's starting to grow. Let me attack it in my mind. When that cuss word is formed in my thought process, God, teach me how to kick it out my mind. God, teach me how to put it down at my mind. God, teach me how to catch that cuss word out my mind down, God. Let me just go ahead and acknowledge and be, I want to cuss my God, but go ahead and dim up my mind right now, God, so the cuss words are, so I won't even see what I want to say to them. Because if you like me, you see the whole conversation playing itself out. You know what, you've had conversations before. And you just waiting for that opportunity. When I see them again, I'm going to start it just like this, and I know they're going to go right here because I'm setting them up. I'm setting them up so perfect. Ooh. And when they take the bait, boom, I'm about to unleash on them. You understand what I'm saying? No, don't you do it. Don't you do it. Discipline yourself. Pull yourself back. Don't you set them up. No. Speak words of peace. And if you can't speak words of peace, then go pray. I'm not even telling you to pray about them right now. Go pray and ask God to help you till you get to a place where you can pray for them. But ask God, God, deal with me. God, help me. God, discipline my mouth, God, you know. See, those are the prayers that we used to pray. We have got to a place where you had the most you ever had in your life, and you pray cute now. You understand? I be listening to some of the folk praying. They don't even pray with no fervency, no enthusiasm. It seems like you ain't praying with no power. I be like, no, I got to hang up this phone. The devil is a lie. I need too much from God. There is too much taking place in my life. And you getting on here praying this little lackadaisical prayer, the devil is a lie. No, you better pray and act like you know you're talking to the King of Glory. Act like you know you're talking to the sovereign God, and his name is Jehovah. His name is Yahweh, the most holy one of Israel. You ought to pray like you're praying to this God who is the true and living God, not praying like you're praying to some false idol God, some God made of wood. No, the devil is a lie. So it's not just me, because I know you need God to do some things in your life, and you need it yesteryear. Yes, you did. And so then why are you praying like you established, like you got it all together? The devil is, no, you got to come on up. We need to hear some fire in them tongues. Matter of fact, some of y'all tongues need to change. Your vocabulary needs to grow in the realm of the spirit. Yeah, it should be some shifting of some syllables in your heavenly language. Yes, I know you don't like it, but I'm telling you the truth. I told God this morning, let my vocabulary, when I'm talking to you, let it increase in the English as well as in the spirit. Let it increase, God. Yeah, so understand. He told them to hold your peace. It said, and Elijah said unto him, tarry here. Stay here at Bethel. Stay here at Bethel. He said, I prayed thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho, right? The Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul, I would not lead thee. So they came to Jericho, right? They came to Jericho. Now we got to say bye-bye to Bethel, to the house of God. I God is moving me. God is transitioning me from that place where he had to deal with me. I got this right to the best of my ability. I'm right. I'm prepared for this next dimension, this next level, this new season, this new chapter. I am prepared. I have prepared myself. And part of my preparation was allowing God to deal with me. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time? See, this used to be a prayer back in the day, you know, when COP was hot, popping and all of that stuff. We still hot and popping. Don't make no mistake about it. But it used to be a time we were here. That was one prayer that used to circulate throughout the congregation. God, show me me. You understand? That was when you were serious about living righteous before God. That was when you were serious and hungry for the holiness of God. Wanted to see him in the beauty of holiness. You would pray prayers like that. God, show me. I want to know what's out of order, God. I want to know what's stopping me. I want to know what's hindering me, God, from coming closer, God. I want to know what's stopping my prayers from being heard, God, from stopping my prayers from being answered and manifested, God. What is it in me, God, that's causing me, God, to not to move to the next level, God, to move to the next dimension? And what you said about me, God, show me me. You don't pray like that no more. We don't pray like them because you perfect now. You have no holes and no gaps in you now. You know, you reach the place, your plateau, all these different things, and you don't pray like that anymore. No, I say, God, I got to revisit some of these old prayers. God, show me, God. Yes, there is a certain place you call me to, God, but I can stand to be better on this level. I can stand to be better, God. You know what, God? I can stand to humble myself even the more, God. I can stand to get lower, get more confident in my mouth as I talk to you. Because if I'm going to go higher, I must first get lower, God. It has to be my desire, God, in order to get low. I'm coming low before you, God, as a form of our worship. I honor you. I adore you, God. See, we've gotten away from getting low. We don't even want to prostrate no more because you feel it take too much work to prostrate. And that ain't even necessary. No, you got to get back to laying prostrate. Get back to laying on your face, because what is it doing? It's keeping me in a place of humility. So he said, listen, we will not leave. So they came to Jericho. And Jericho is in the Hebrew is interpreted as the moon, right? And if you know anything about the moon has phases or cycles. Right? Listen, God takes us from the place of Bethel, the house of God, dealing with you. Now we dealt with you, right? But it's not good enough just to deal with you. I got to deal with those that you want to walk in. There were some cycles that come in your life every new season. In other words, when fall time comes or when winter time comes, there were certain cycles that you find yourself revisiting. Yeah, you know I'm talking real good. There were certain cycles that you find yourself, and instead of you asking God to break the cycle, okay, if God didn't break the cycle, then you might have just said, God, break me, dear God. If you don't break the cycle, then God, break me. See, some of y'all are afraid to ask God to break you. I asked God to break me one time. Now, I'm going to go ahead and be real because I'm going to tell the truth. I'm not suggesting this is one of them prayers you should just come out your mouth, just let it just fall out your mouth so randomly. Oh, no, because make no mistake about it. Exactly what you said is exactly how what God is going to do. And I don't know what your breaking would consist of. See, my breaking, because I was so prideful, because I was so arrogant, all of these different things, God messed with my physical features. God messed. Oh, he said, I know how to humble you. I know how to get you out that mirror. See, we talk about that physical mirror, that one where you want to go looking at my I want you in another mirror. Go to my word and see when he messed with my physical features. Guess what? I stopped going to the literal mirror and I begin to go to the word. I need to see you through the word, God. Oh, my self-esteem must be built through the word, God. My security must come through the word, God. And see, it's not about what I look like. In the reality, gravity is going to put on all of this. And truth be told, God forbid, but if you have some type of accident, guess what? Your physical features. You understand what I'm saying? And God has this way of just putting you back to him. And even in me praying that prayer, God honored that thing. And I'm telling you, I'm better for it. Yeah, didn't like it, but I'm better for it. And if you ask me if I can go back in my past and change what I would not change a thing. Because it was part of my process. Whether it was something that I asked God to put into the process, or whether it was already on God's mind to bring me through that process, it doesn't even matter. I'm better for it. I'm better for it. And see, for most of you, you need to have cycles, certain phases you go through. If you like me, I have certain phases I go through. And it's not just in seasons. My phases can happen daily. You understand? My phases can happen throughout the week. Like, there are certain times where, like, for instance, I was supposed to go and get a haircut. But I woke up and I was just like, you know what? I was in that phase. I don't want to go get a haircut. I'm just going to have to put a line on my own head and shave my face, and I'm going to be all right. That's what's going to have to be. You understand what I'm saying? That's a phase that I go through, right? There are other phases that I go through. It's like when I put on my Timbos. I've never been a gangster. I've never tried to be a gangster, but I sure like to let my Timberland boots just scrub the ground a little bit how the gangsters do. You understand? I ain't going to sack my pants or nothing like that, but I sure like to let my Timbos scrub the floor a little bit when I walk. You understand? It's a
face, it makes you kind of feel a certain way. You know what I'm saying, women. Y'all ain't gonna help me. It's when you put on that bright, bright, bright red lipstick and you begin to pucker your lips out, right? It's a phase you get in when you put on that brand new lipstick, or you put on a brand new pump, or you put on that brand new handbag on your shoulder. Or for you home, what would you put on them Jordan 11s? Or whatever shoe it is that gets you rolling, that outfit that gets you rolling, it puts you in a certain phase, a certain mindset comes over you. Right, right, right. You understand what I'm saying? But it's these phases that we have to deal with, because when you take away all the labels, when you take away the Nautica, when you take away the heel figure, when you take away the Ralph Lauren, and when you take away the Chanel, and take away the Gucci and all these different things, the Fendi, all, when you take away all these levels, you're left with the real thing. So stop hiding behind labels. Right? That's why he dealt with you at the house of God, and now we're going to deal with your cycle. And see, Christmas time is coming up. Thanksgiving time is coming up. And see, I don't know, a lot of times, this is because we're still in this cuffing season. We're still in this cuffing season, right? It's that time of the year where you want to cuddle with somebody, want to be warm, want somebody to get next to you and all that different stuff. No, no, no. Don't you be deceived by it. Don't you get tricked by it this year. You need to ask God to break this cycle where I'm longing to have companionship, God. Bring the companionship at the appointed time. Bring the companionship when you bring the right individual, God. I don't want just know anybody, but I need somebody. Okay, okay. It's good that they're a man of God. You understand? I want them to be saved. But listen, I also want a certain person, you know, who's going to be a friend of my mind. Can you stimulate my mind? Because after we prayed and after we shouted and gave God praise and worship God, can we come and have an intelligent conversation? Can we come and have a pleasant conversation? Can you be a friend of my mind? Or are you going to be a friend of my heart, my emotions? If you're the woman, you understand, women, they can talk from an emotional place. They remember seem like everything we do. You understand, man? But even when she's discussing everything that she's discussing and it appears to be emotional, can you be a friend of her heart and give her that leeway to express herself, because she's an expressive emotional being, right? Just because she's speaking from an emotional place doesn't mean she has to be emotional. And man, we got to be able to discern that she may be speaking from an emotional place. Does not mean she's been an emotional being in this moment. And if she is being an emotional being, the Bible says that, guess what? She's the weaker vessel. You ought to give her that card, right? She's the weaker vessel. And there are some days, I get it, man. You want to be heard. You want to be understood. So you don't mind going to that place where you want to get a little emotional. Yeah, tell the truth. I know you big and you can bench press 255 pounds, but you with your bench press and stuff, you emotions some days. Some days you ain't got the power to lift up your own emotions. Some days you ain't got the strength to lift up your own heart. And you talking from a weak place. You talking from an emotional place. Woman, give him the benefit of the doubt. He has emotions. We just don't talk about them as much. We just don't reveal them as much. So when you cherish the moment that he lets you into this intimate place, don't walk away and call him a punk. Don't treat him like he's soft, because he got emotional or he revealed his heart to you. No, you ought to be happy he revealed his heart to you. See, most of us, we don't understand that. And you have to understand that. You have to understand that and not misinterpret that. Don't misinterpret that. So we're talking about breaking these cycles or the phases. There were just some cycles where some of y'all, you just procrastinate. It's all you do. And you lie to yourself talking about you do your best work on the pressure. I'm good with the pressure. I'm good at performing at the last minute. I know how. But no, you're lying to yourself. You're lying to yourself. I'm going to go ahead and raise my hand because I'm preaching to me. That is, those are my exact words. I do my best work under pressure. I intentionally procrastinate because I know how to lock in. Now, the truth of the matter is I do know how to lock in and focus on what it is that I have to get done. But is that really good for my actual physical health when I invite unneeded pressure in my life? Is it really good for you? It's really not that good. You understand? So if you have time to get things done, deadline,
Don't wait till the dead. Now work beforehand. This is called preparing. This is called preparation. This is called being diligent. This is called working smart and not working hard. Because when you procrastinate, you find yourself having to work extra harder to balance all the pressure that didn't have to be in your life in order to still get done what needs to get done by the deadline. No, let's work smart and not work hard. Let's break some of these phases. Stop being so lazy. Break that phase of that cycle of lazy and lethargic. You break that phase or break that cycle of fear and unbelief and doubt on for you. Because there are seasons where you just gung-ho about the things of God. You just believe God. You trust in God. But then you hit a place of obscurity and you find yourself struggling with what God said. No! Break that phase. Break that cycle. Go ahead and say bye-bye to fear. Bye-bye to intimidation. Bye-bye to being reluctant or being hesitant with stepping out on the word of God. No, say bye-bye to it. Break that phase. Break that cycle. That's what Jericho represents. Understand, even when you talk about the phases of the moon, there are times that the moon, there is something called the full moon. So guess what? There are times that you are so full of the word of God, you're so full of faith, so full of praise, but then there are times where it's a crescent moon or what they call the black moon. We can't even see the moon. We can't even see no praise. You got this much faith or this much praise, this much obedience, this much worship, this much relationship. No, you should have a full moon. You should have the face of the full moon, full of faith, full of wisdom, full of peace, full of joy, full in my relationship, full and prosperous in the things that God has spoken concerning my life. At this place called Jericho, yes, I'm breaking all the unhealthy phases. I'm coming up out of all the unhealthy cycles, and my new cycle will be I'm going to walk by faith. I'm going to get in prayer. I'm going to bless his name for what I know he's going to do. I'm going to worship him for being who he said he was going to. That is my new cycle, faith and prayer and praise and worship. That's my new cycle. I said my new cycle is faith and prayer and praise and worship. That is my new cycle. I'm coming up out of the fear. I'm coming up out of the doubt. I'm coming up out of the laziness. I'm coming up out of the lethargy. I'm coming up out of the rebellion. But in this new cycle, it's going to be, I'm going to be full of faith. I'm going to be full of praise. I'm going to be full of prayer and intercession. I'm going to be full of worship. I'm going to be full of obedience. I'm going to be full of adoration. I'm going to be full of admiration unto God. I'm going to be full of mercy and full of grace. Yes, I am. I'm going to be full of love. Come out of that cycle. Come out of that cycle. And he says, listen, and the sons of the prophets were there, Jericho. Here I go again. When God is trying to break these cycles off of me and pull me out of these cycles, I yet have another audience watching how I'm going to handle what God is doing when he's trying to pull me out of certain phases or when he's trying to break me out of certain cycles. And the reality, most of us, is hard to out of things that are so familiar to you. See, we talk about the change of gear. Yeah, it's so difficult to come out of this place of familiarity. But listen, if I stay in this place of familiarity, I cannot get to this place of blessing. I cannot get to this place of transition. I cannot get to this new season. I can't walk through this new door. I can't go through the next chapter if I don't allow myself to move from this place of familiarity. I must ask you the question. What is familiar to you? If it's so familiar, have you really went and defined why this place is so familiar to you? See, I don't want you to look at, okay, because most of us, we're just looking, okay, well, this is when God, I got my house, and this is when God blessed me with the car right here, right here. Well, maybe God is trying to bless you with more wisdom. See, that's not something you can just flaunt in front of people. You understand? Come here, everybody. You can't post your wisdom on Facebook like you can go and lean up against your car and take a selfie of yourself, of your new little car that you got from CarMax and all these different places. You can't post your wisdom on Facebook like you can post a picture of you and your car. You understand what I'm saying? So wisdom is not something that you can just flaunt in front of other people. But this is the thing you ought to be asking God for. This is what God may be trying to bless you with as he takes you, transition you, and process you through to the next level. But because you're so stuck on this place called familiar, I got my car right here, my house right here. Oh, but what is God trying to do over here? And then the truth be told, if you really be real, you have not dealt with everything that is familiar in that place. Because guess what? You've had some failures in this place called familiar that you don't talk about as much. Because you
lie to yourself. You're still unwilling to be real with yourself. If you're going to be real, just go ahead and be real. Talk about the good. Talk about the bad. Talk about the beautiful. Talk about the ugly. Talk about the lovely and the talk about it all. When I messed up here, when I made a mistake, when I was successful over here, but at the same time, I got to talk about where I came up short. That's all in this familiar place. But where I made mistakes, where I messed up, the beauty of God, grace and mercy, I can learn. I have now grown with wisdom in the areas that I messed up, that I can now take through my place of processing or my place of transition to this new chapter in my life. I can learn from my mistakes, y'all, and take that wisdom here.
So it's all right if folk is watching. God has me. I'm moving in the word and the timing and the season of God. God has me. Yes, God has me. So it says in the plans of the prophet that way Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy day? And he answered again, Father saying, yes, be quiet, hold your peace. And then Elisha told him, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord have sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth, as the soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And the two went on. They went on to Jordan. I'm about to get out your way. This word Jordan is defined in the Hebrew as descender, meaning to go low. And see, before I move to this next transition, God, I want to move in a place of humility, God. I'm moving in a manner that depicts that I need you, in a manner that shows you I am dependent upon you. I am only here because of you, God. I can't go through without you, God. You're the only reason that I made it this far, God. And if you don't help me now, God, I won't be no good when I get through the door, God. I won't be any good when I get in the new season or the new chapter, God. So I am inviting you through my humility, God, of showing that I need you. I am inviting you into this new season, into this new chapter, to walk through the door with me, God. I need you. In other words, I'm keeping myself humble before God. And the reality, we tell you, when we talked about, we had upside down living with a kingdom perspective, it, simply put, if you're going to go high, if you're going to go to the next level, if you're going to be transitioned, to be processed to the next place, you get there by getting low. If you're going to go high in God, you must get low. Humble is the way. Humility is the way. Coming before God, depending upon God, that is the way where I humble myself before this mighty God. I humble myself before God. And that's what he's saying. So at Jordan, we're saying bye-bye to pride. Farewell, pride. We're saying farewell to arrogance. We're saying farewell to independent. No, I need God. It's not just independent women, it's some independent men. We're saying farewell to that. I can't do this without you, God. Neither can I do it without the people that you have brought in my life. You see, some of y'all just want, you just want you and God. The devil is a lie. That is not how Christian works. God, in order to have God, you must have God, and you must have the people that are connected to God. You cannot just have God. What a deception if you think you can do Christian or Christianity with just God. It's a lie. That's why Christ had 12 around him. And he was the theanthropos. He was fully God and fully man, but yet he connected himself to human beings. He partnered with human beings. He was in relationship with human beings. So who are you to think it's just you and God? No, be grateful for the people that God has put or orchestrated to be a part of your life on every level, in every season. Some people are going to be in your life for merely a reason. Some are going to be in your life for just a season. And then there were some who may have the opportunity to be in your life for a lifetime. But whether they're there for a reason, season, or a lifetime, value them, honor them, appreciate them. Thank God that God brought them. Yeah. The Bible talks about friends. True friends will give you wounds. But those wounds are like kisses. So in other words, true friends are going to speak some things that are going to be hard. It's going to bruise your little ego some days. Oh, yeah. But you understand they sent it because they love me. This was spoken out of the vein of love. I didn't like it. It came at the wrong time. I disagree with it. I hate that you said it. I think you're wrong. But when you get to yourself and you pray, you think about what they said, you're going to realize that they were right. And they said it because they love you. They love you. So understand, we're talking about this farewell tour. Elijah's getting ready to be taken up, so he had to say goodbye to Gilgal. He had to say goodbye to Bethel. He had to say goodbye to Jericho, and he's having to say goodbye to Jordan. And finally, he's going to have to say bye-bye to Elisha. But what he told Elijah, if you see me when I'm gone. The thing, Elisha, this wasn't his request on his own. The man of God, because of his due diligence to follow, to come after, to remain at his side, to be in covenant relationship. I'm going to reward you for your relationship. I bless God for the reward that comes because you do relationship well. And see, if you truly look at your relationship, if you do the relationship well, there are rewards all in the relationship. For example, there were some people, when you do relationship well with them, you are so full of joy because of presence. You are so full of joy because of the words that they speak to you. You are so full of joy at their hug, at their embrace. That is a reward that has come by way of this relationship. They know exactly what to say when you're at a low place to encourage you, to help you come up and stand tall and rise again. Those are the rewards that I'm talking about. Wives and husbands, you know what I'm talking about. When one of us have had a bad day, all we need is just an embrace from you. When the world and when the job has got on our nerves, we can just fall into your arms and get that embrace, and we feel stripped to go and tackle it another day. That's the reward that I'm talking about from certain relationships. And so because of Elisha's due diligence, because of his devotion and commitment, his loyalty, he's about to be rewarded because he did relationship well. And his reward is, when you see me when I'm gone, ask what you will, and it shall be. Now, mind you, the prophets, the sons of the prophets, they saw a whirlwind. So they saw a natural thing, but the eyes of the prophet Elisha were open to see in the realm of the spirit, that he saw the horses and the chariot of fire, the spiritual thing that came and took Elijah up. So not only did his eyes become open in the realm of the spirit, he received a double portion. His request was honored. He received a double portion of the man of God's spirit, because it's here at the Jordan that the prophet Elijah took off his mantle and wrapped it up, and he smashed the Jordan River, and it parted open, and they walked over on dry land. And the scripture lets us know that when Elisha saw his mantle, Elisha taken up, his eyes was open, but that the mantle of Elijah fell down. So what he asked for, that double portion of anointing or portion of his spirit, it was granted to him because he did relationship well. So now look at this. It's not just Elijah saying bye-bye or farewell to certain places. Elisha is now saying bye-bye to being average. Gee, my God, I bless your wonderful name. And see, for most of you, you've been living at this familiar place called average for so long. When God is trying to pull the excellence out of you, you didn't like it. That's why it's been so difficult. That's why it's felt so hard, because guess what? I'm trying to get you to the next level where you're moving and operating in a spirit of excellence. Yeah. And see, one thing I try to tell the leadership here, we are striving for perfection. I know we'll never be perfect, but it just sounds good to say. We are striving for perfection. If we happen to miss perfection, let us fall on excellence. Let's at least operate in the standard and the spirit of excellence. And that's the place God is trying to bring you to. Matter of fact, when you go to this the book of Corinthians, right, and you come out of verse number 12, as soon as you move into verse number 12, because at the end of verse number 12, Paul is talking about there is a more excellent way. What is the more excellent way that he's talking about? He begins to push you into the more excellent way in chapter number 13. It is love. Love is the more excellent way. Loving God is the more excellent way, because when I love God the correct way, I can love people the correct way. And when I love God and love people, I can love myself the correct way. This is me moving now in a more excellent way. And this is what God is trying to do. Pull you out of the average way of loving folk. Not just loving folk, but loving what you do for folk. Loving what you do and how you do unto God. Pulling you out of the average way. We tired of that little kindergarten prayer. You should love talking to God. That you talk to God with passion and fervency and excitement, devotion and commitment, with a joy. This is how you approach God. Why? Because I've moved from this place of being average in how I talk to God to this place of excellence. I come with anticipation. I come with expectation. I am coming with faith and excitement that you are God. And this is what God is trying to get us to do. process you through from this place of average to this place where you are operating in a more excellent way. So we call this the farewell tour. Because you got to say, as God has got the process and the ball moving at Gilgal, it started at Gilgal. God started something. Way back when you got saved, God started the ball rolling. He started the momentum going. When you begin to call on his name, you feel it. And every time you call on his name, when you get in a tricky place, you feel that momentum. You feel that push that comes from God. That moving that comes from God. He started this thing way back in Gilgal. But guess what, baby? You got to grow up. You can't stay as a babe in Christ. You got to be able to chew on the meat of the word. You got to move from the milk to the meat of the word. And that's why you can't stay at the place called Gilgal, but you got to press your way to Bethel. And as you get to Bethel, the house of God, it's that meat that you begin to chew on where God begins to show you and deal with you, the real you. I'm not talking about that public you, but I'm talking about that secret you. Yeah, that one that nobody really knows about, that you right there. That's the one that God just wants to deal with at the place called Bethel. And when he deals with you, you can say bye-bye to that old man, bye-bye to that old nature. And we move on and process us to Jericho. It's here at Jericho that we get, and God does away with these phases and does away with these cycles. Bye-bye to certain phases and bye-bye to certain cycles. Yeah, I was good at some sin over here, but enough is enough. It's time for me to be good at doing kingdom. It's time for me to be good at doing Christianity. It's time for me to be good at doing relationship. Bye-bye to certain phases and bye-bye and farewell to certain cycles. I'm about to be full of faith, prayer, praise, and worship. Full of God is where I'm going to be. And then we move on to the place of Jordan where I find myself abiding in a place of humility. Humble is the way. And it's in this place of humility that I find myself operating in a more excellent way. Because I can't make it. Not just without God, but I can't make it without the people he's connected me to work with. So I want to encourage you on today, on this farewell tour. There were some things and some people you're going to have to say bye-bye to, farewell to, in order to move into your next season, your next chapter, through the next door, to the next level or next dimension, whatever it is for your life. In order for you to move into this place of a spirit of excellence, you're going to have to first say bye-bye to something. Amen.